not the boring, generic milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Cattles.
He throws it out there, speaks his mind, that's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Cattles and Rami. Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
You know what I feel like every day?
What do you feel like every day,
so
Nick Cattles?
I'm not a big race car driver-like fan, NASCAR fan.
Yeah.
But you know how they, like, change the tires and do everything in the pit really fast?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It's a lot going on right now. Every day, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, you,
Before the beginning of the program.
Woo! That's quite the process. Can we throw, like, an extra minute in the commercial break between Deuce and Mom and the start of Cattles and Rami?
I will take all
for
the
my
extra
guy
time.
Here,
I will take all the extra time you can give
Oof.
Us.
Every
boy,
oh
single
boy.
Extra second I will take.
I mean, I'm over here just clickety-clacking away. I'm
yeah.
surfing Twitter.
No worries for me. You're fine. You're as comfortable as a pig in poop. You're doing great.
I got my box score open, my show notes. I'm ready to go, baby. I'm ready to go.
There's
cameras
there's,
set, everything. How just, we looking? Good looking good back there? Looking good? We're good. See, everything is set.
Zero rush from you. And Deuce and Mo, as we were doing the crossover, they're like, hey, we need to, like, watch you. I'm like, I felt like a zoo animal.
They wanted to see the process.
Yeah.
They wanted to see the process.
As I explained to Mo, it's literally just spraying and wiping. There's
but
really not
a,
much
it,
going
it's
on.
It's a lot of wiping. Only a little bit of spraying, but it's all, dude, it is a lot of wiping.
I would argue that there's not enough wiping at times.
What?
Yesterday, I felt a little less wiping than needed.
What do you think?
I didn't get the entire mic stand.
What do you think is happening?
And so I don't
here?
Appreciate your tone
that
either.
That you need to wipe literally every square inch
Listen,
of everything that you touch.
You can't explain mental defects, okay? You can't explain away things that, you
I'm
know.
I'm trying to, you know, be your therapist here.
It's irrational.
Okay.
I appreciate the effort. I understand. But that's where I'm at. You got to deal with it. I got to deal with it. We have to deal with it.
Can we get it like a different, just a different studio?
It's okay. We still love you anyways.
I would love my own studio. You want to work on that? I'll be
just
fine.
Just fumigated. Every time you walk out, just a mist.
Can I just say one more thing? One more thing too, okay? Just one more thing.
Yes.
I know Deuce and Mo have really enjoyed the donuts the last couple days.
Yeah.
There is donut all over the joint on this floor.
Yeah. Is there really?
Yeah. Oh, no. We can't have that.
We're working on a sponsorship for you. Maybe we'll, like, line up Lysol or something, and then they can promote the crossover. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I'd be all in
Isn't
for that.
That
yes.
bomb?
Yes. Seventh generation. I'm good.
You know in the produce department, they have, like, those things that hang over the produce, and it mists, like, water
yes.
down on the
yeah.
produce to keep it fresh?
Yeah.
And
that's what I need right above
that's
here.
That's a great idea, Rami.
Just one of those above your console that in the crossover, it mists down, it disinfects everything. You walk in, you do the show.
So when I walk in, Deuce leaves and Mo leaves the console, and then just I hit a button.
There's a red button outside the studio. You hit that. Mist drops, disinfects, start the show.
A little Zamboni can wipe it down and then go into a spot. I'm all in. All right, let's get to the Kings game last night. Big game. Rami, we talked about this yesterday, and it might not seem like a big game when you're like, you know, 50 games into an 82-game season, but this was a big game last night when you look at seeding. You know, now they're 2-2 against Memphis, which is a much better spot than being down 3-1 in the season series. So that might end up helping you mm-hmm. a lot down the road.
Isn't that crazy that we're talking about that?
Yeah,
we're talking about like, oh, you might need this win in a tiebreaker with Memphis, who could win the Western Conference.
It's not that crazy to
right?
me anymore. I mean, we're at that point. 3.5 games back of the 2 seed now. Again, if you lost that game last night, you're 5.5 back. And these are the kinds of games that, you know, 25, 30 games down the road here, you look back in the rearview mirror and you say, oh, that was a big win. That was good. And when you're watching last night, I don't know if anybody else had this. I had a little PTSD last night watching the game in like the late second quarter through the beginning of the third quarter. It started to feel like the Philly game where all of a sudden, late second quarter, Memphis makes a little bit of a run. They start feeling good about themselves. I thought the Kings in the beginning of the third quarter really lacked urgency. Mm-hmm. And you know who else felt that? It was Mike Brown, because Brown called not one but two quick timeouts. He called his quick timeout. It didn't work. Then he said, okay, I'm going to do it again.
Oh, you guys didn't hear me? Let me tell you again. Yeah. Timeout.
Oh, you missed that? Okay, another TO. And then after that timeout, from about the middle of the third quarter and on, Rami, you want to talk about responding? The Kings responded in a gigantic way, a 62-27 run.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
That's a crazy number. You brought that up to me this morning, and I was like, that can't be right. Let's double check that, because that can't be. But it was right. 62-27 run, man. And I know no Ja Morant and no Steven Adams. I get that, but that's still a pretty good roster that they got there, even without those two guys. Championship roster, no, but still a pretty good roster that they got in Memphis.
And yeah.
Not an easy team to beat by any means. And, yeah, I thought it started in the third quarter, Nick, that urgency that you talk about. I was talking about it with Deuce and Moe in the crossover between the two shows. At the start of the fourth quarter, the two steals by Trey Lyles and his dunk and Malik Monk's dunk off those two steals, I felt was like when that was the statement by the Kings to the Grizzlies that this thing is over. Like, whatever life you had left in you, we just stomped it right out of you. And that composure, that not falling into that trap again that you mentioned they fell into against Philadelphia, 47 points in the first quarter, 10 threes to open the game, 12 of 13 on threes in the first quarter. I might be prisoner of the moment. This might be recency bias, Nick. That's as impressed as I've been with a Kings win maybe this entire season.
Well, look, it's tough to not be impressed by that first quarter offense. That's one of those quarters where it doesn't matter if you're talking about the best teams in the league, worst teams in the league, best teams ever. What we saw in the first quarter was absolutely bananas. So that was impressive, no doubt about it.
Let's go, Sacramento.
I thought second quarter things kind of cooled off, but here was Trey Lyles in the post game talking about that response from his team.
It's every game that we win, it starts with our defense. So, second quarter, we kind of was lackadaisical offensively and defensively. They were kind of getting to where they wanted to do. Then offensively, we started turning the ball over. We didn't take care of the ball at all tonight. I think we had 25 turnovers. But luckily enough, we were able to, play better defense in the second half and get us the big win.
You want to talk impressive. When you turn the ball over 24, 25 times and still put together a 62-27 run, you're doing something right. And Rami, you said it, impressive. And what's impressive is if this team can continue to learn from its mistakes, right? If this team can continue to learn what bit them in the tuk-tuk and what they need to do better at a higher level. Yeah, it's butt.
Okay.
And, play at a higher level and deal with certain things. If they can learn from their mistakes, and that's what I saw from Saturday night to last night. Again, it had that Philly feel. Philly didn't have Harden. They didn't have Embiid. Last night, Memphis doesn't have Ja. They don't have Adams. You let them back in the game in the second quarter. You start off slow in the third quarter. At that moment, the game's teetering, but they learned. They finally did listen to the coach after the second timeout, went out there, and they put their foot on Memphis's throat. That's learning from what you didn't do on Saturday.
And I think some of that, you're right, that they eased up a little bit. The foot came off the gas pedal a little bit. But also, some of that was just with the first quarter being as lopsided as it was and as hot as the Kings were shooting the ball. Like we always talk about when guys are a little too hot and we're like, hey, everybody just don't panic when there's a little bit of regression. You know what I mean? Like this guy is bound to cool off at some point. I think some of that comeback by Memphis was some of that. It was almost bound to happen. That Memphis had to heat up. Sacramento had to cool off. And I think they let their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And I got to imagine, Nick, that Mike Brown was saying in those two quick timeouts, like, hey, guys, you see this is happening again, right? Like, we were just here a couple of nights ago and let a win slip through our fingers with their two best players out. Here we are against the Grizzlies with their two best players out, and you're letting this thing slip through your fingers. It's time to close this thing out and take the second half of this game a little bit more seriously. And like you said, maybe the message didn't get home on the first quick TO, but it certainly got home on the second one.
Mentioned on the show yesterday, too, you got to start taking care of home court. And winning a game like last night at home is big. They're now 16-10 at home. The Grizzlies, by the way, they continue to be a pretty bad road team at 11-13, but going into last night's game, 15-10 at home is not good enough. If you want to be a top 2, 3, 4 seed in the West, you've got to take care of business at home, and they were able to do that. And Rami, I also agree with your point about Memphis being tough. I know you look at it and you say, no Ja, no Adams, no big deal. But really, this is a team that won a number of games last year with Ja Morant not playing. They're a very tough team. Tyus Jones, a good point guard. They have good talent. They have incredible depth. And, you know, to walk away with a win, especially how convincingly they won at the end of the night,
yeah,
I do think is a nice, nice W for this basketball.
Dominating now.
You could tell that they were pretty hyped up about that win by the end of that game. You could tell that they felt like they had made some sort of statement, or maybe it was just the relief of, hey, we didn't let that happen again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Could have been.
that nightmare that happened just a couple nights ago almost happened again, and we stopped it. I don't know what it was, but you could tell, and in the post-game press conferences and interviews, that win, there was a little extra to that win for the Kings. Just like I'm saying, for me, it was the most impressive win, maybe, of the season, or most impressive showing of the Kings so far this season. I think they kind of impressed themselves last night with what they did in the first quarter, with the way they were able to close the thing out, with it ending up being a blowout victory over a good Memphis team, even without their two best players. I think the Kings impressed themselves a little bit. And Mike Brown said earlier this week, or it was probably last week because it's only Tuesday, a team that believes in itself is a dangerous thing. And
yep.
I think nights like last night further increase that belief and that confidence that they have in themselves. And the more that builds, man, that it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs, and it's a real thing that has a real effect on their play.
All right, those are our thoughts. Want your thoughts? 916-339-1140 is the text line. Again, 916-339-1140, your thoughts on the Kings' win last night. Phone number, phone lines are open for Kings fans, 1-800-920-1140. 1-800-920-1140. And again, of course, you can always join us. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Get involved in the chat. Don't forget to like, to build that community as well. More eyeballs for us, more chatting for you. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. We'll get to your thoughts on the Kings. Also, in 90 seconds, I don't know what the problem is, but YouTube TV, fix it.
Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
The only place you'll find De'Aaron Fox is Sacktown Sports.
Spins away from the defender, in the paint, soft floater. That's a great play by De'Aaron Fox.
Hey Sacramento, it's De'Aaron Fox, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
Remind you all, guests, come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So Patrick Donaldson chats in, YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Don't forget to like. You swing by and visit. Trying to get more eyeballs to the product. We have 6A to 6P now, local programming for you. Patrick, my YouTube TV worked perfect from start to finish, so it must have been certain areas.
What?
I don't know.
But you and I are not anywhere near the same area.
That is true.
And we had the same problem, as did many people in the Twitterverse.
Yes. So, look, I don't think Patrick is lying to us. All I know is...
You're a liar, Patrick.
YouTube TV. YouTube TV.
Why you always lying? Yeah, Patrick.
You got to figure it out. I mean...
This isn't the first time.
No. It's not. It doesn't seem like it would be a difficult thing to figure out. I finish up with dinner, and I flip over to NBC Sports California, and I see, oh, no, wait... There's a dog show on NBC Sports California.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings game is on NBC Sports California Plus.
Which, by the way, love a good dog show.
Love a good dog show.
Just wasn't the time.
Just not when a Kings game
time. Right.
So I flip over to NBC Sports California Plus, and it's a dog show. So now I'm going back and forth to make sure I'm not losing my mind.
Double dog show.
Oh, I'd like to solve the puzzle.
It is a double dog show indeed.
Double dog show.
And so I'm going back and forth from California to California Plus, California Plus to California. I did this like 6 or 7 times.
I checked Bay Area just to see if it might be there by mistake.
And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? So I tweet at YouTube. And YouTube gives me the most dismissive whatever answer, right? Well, no, I didn't tweet at YouTube. I just tweeted like within my tweet, YouTube TV. And of course, they send back that their reply is like the most dismissive thing ever. It's pretty much like, have you tried to shut your device off and put it back on? The old plug it, you know, unplug it and plug it in.
I'm really?
Like, did you try blowing on the cartridge?
Yeah. I'm like, this ain't my first rodeo YouTube TV, okay? What? It's not my device.
It's
every
not my device.
Device.
Yeah. Like, my device has stuff on the wrong channel. What are you
yeah,
even
so I
talking
don't
about?
Your tone either.
Every device in my house is showing me dog shows. I can't get away from dog shows. And I love dog shows, but no. Javier said the German Shepherd had a great first quarter.
Do they do quarters in dog shows or halves?
I don't know. I didn't bother to watch. I found other ways to watch the first quarter. And then they finally figured it out. And I don't know if they flipped the switch or whatever they had to do. They turned the on button on over at YouTube. I don't know how it worked. But
I do
finally.
Literally, I don't know about you, like when stuff like that happens, I literally picture like a big control room with a bunch of switches and buttons.
I picture
and
like the NBA officiating review yes. room with like all the TVs and 70 people running around.
And one guy walking in and just like hitting a switch yeah. and all of a sudden we're watching the Kings.
Yeah.
It's like, I can imagine that one guy looks like Taylor Jenkins too. Yeah. Just standing there trying to figure it out.
It's like when I can't figure stuff out in the studio and Brian Metcalf or Nelly comes in, like the engineer and IT people, they just go, oh yeah, poop, and hit the switch, and I go, oh, I'm an idiot. So it finally worked, but check my devices. You don't think I did that? That's like pretty much the first thing on the checklist.
And so I don't appreciate your tone either.
Check the devices.
And by the way, sorry to the folks who maybe tuned in for a Kings recap show at the YouTube channel last night. I was willing and able to do it. I just didn't see the first quarter and a half. And so Joe, our digital manager, was like, you know what? Nah, why don't we just take the night off? So sorry that we didn't give you a recap show last night.
By the way, back to the game last night. Bradley Schmidt says, Cattles, Monk and our bench stepped it up. Yes, we'll get to Monk later on.
I would have loved to see those 47 points. That sounds like it was a lot of fun. The 10 threes to open the game.
I feel like you could probably go back and find it somewhere.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sounds like it was electric.
You can just go to like YouTube and check game highlights and you'll get them all.
People seemed pretty excited about it.
The YouTube clip is about 2 minutes long.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say we cut our own just for your very case.
I'll check it out.
For people that missed out.
Epic Airbeast says, I missed half the game because of the dog show. I was frustrated too. Yes, we were all frustrated, judging by all the people liking my tweet last night about the dog show, but
the Beagle, man.
We'll get to Beagle was fantastic.
Handles.
We'll get to Monk later on in the show, but Trey Lyles is the first guy that I want to talk about today because he was spectacular last night. 24-7, 8-11 from the field, and 6-8 from three. Here was Lyles on his approach.
You know, I've said it all year whenever I've done interviews and guys have asked me. It's just the only thing I can control is my effort. I can't control how many minutes I play. I can't control if the shot goes in or if it doesn't, but I can control how hard I play. And I can control my mental aspect and mental approach to the game. So tonight, just, you know, made sure I came out here and did what I was supposed to do. Shots started falling. So, you know, luckily I had a good game.
Rami, he was terrific.
He was a man.
He's just excellent. I mean, when you watch his activity on both ends of the floor last night, I mean, Trey Lyles, he's not like that every night, but he has had at least a handful of games where he stands out and you go, wow, he could be the best player off the bench for this team when he's playing like that.
Yeah, like Malik Monk finally woke up yesterday. And
yes.
You want him to be the best player off your bench, but of late, it's been Trey Lyles more nights than not when you're talking about the best player and especially the best scorer off the bench. Last night, brought the defense as well and has done that a couple of times this season, but yeah, Nick, and we talked about this a little bit after his last 20-point game. Can we just lock this guy in as the first four and five off the bench?
Yeah, he should be your eighth guy. He should be the first person off the bench after Davion and Monk are off the bench.
Yeah, and the first big, the first guy, if you want to go small five or if you need somebody to come off.
Yeah, wing/big.
Yes. Yeah. Can we just lock him in as that? Because I really do feel, and he talked about it a little bit after the game, that when he knows what's expected of him when he shows up to the arena on any given night, I think he's one of those guys that really benefits from that and has his best game, and I think we saw that last night.
It just wasn't his offense, too, as I mentioned. Like, I know we'll fall in love with the 24 points and the 8 of 11 from the field and 6 of 8 from 3 because that's the shiny toy in the department, right? But I'm looking at the other stuff. I'm looking at the steals. I'm looking at the couple of blocks he had last night. I'm looking at the 7 rebounds, his effort on the glass. And I'm also looking at his decision-making. What impressed me the most last night is when you're a guy like Lyles and you've been a little off and on when it comes to minutes for this team, and your game has a little bit of off and on to it as well this year, to be as hot as he was last night and as active as he was, but not trying to do too much. And I think that speaks volumes about him when it comes to his decision-making. Like last night, he made a lot of good decisions on that floor, and he did not try to push his own offense. He didn't try to do everything himself. He understood he had it cooking. He understood he was playing great, but he didn't try to do too much. Here's head coach Mike Brown on Trey Lyles.
Trey's 6'9". Not only that, he's a big guy. He's an experienced guy, and he's got a tremendous feel. And his team defensive instincts within our scheme can help us get to the next level. People in the past might say, "Oh no, he's not a great defender." No, if you guard like you're supposed to guard in this league, which is my opinion, is 5 guys have to guard the basketball, and you have 5 Trays, you can be a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah, and he brought the defense last night. Crazy number, Nick. And I'm not saying this is direct cause and effect, you know, that Trey Lyles is the key, you know what I mean, to this Kings' success. But they're 11-4 when he scores in double figures. And I don't think that speaks so much directly to Trey Lyles, and you need him to be in double figures every night to win basketball games. Again, he's not the key to the Kings' success. But what I think that speaks to is how bench scoring for this team kind of takes them over the top and takes them to another level, whether it's Trey Lyles or it's Malik Monk or on, you know, the rare Davion Mitchell night when he has his shot. When they get major contributions from their bench, they go from being like a pretty good team to a really good team, I think is what that number says, that they're 11-4 when Trey Lyles is in double figures. I'd like to see what it is. I don't have it handy, but when Malik Monk is in double figures and he's hot, I think that really is, and it's not unique to the Kings. That's a difference for a lot of NBA teams, and you can go from being a good 5, a good starting 5, to like a really good 7 or 8. That's what the Grizzlies have. That's what makes them championship contenders. It starts with Ja at the top, but the fact that there's 7, 8 deep of quality NBA players, and you know you're going to get contributions from at least 6 or 7 of those guys on a given night, is what makes them dangerous and real contenders.
916-339-1140 is the text line. Phone number is 1-800-920-1140. It is 2:24 on this Tuesday. Time check brought to you by West Coast Men's Health Acoustic Wave Therapy. We'll continue with your reaction on the Kings. Also, a major impact 49er gets arrested. We'll have the latest on that next.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
With your Sactown Sports headlines, I'm Simone Rickford. A downtown Sacramento City block was experiencing heavy raining threes last night. The Kings made 12 three-pointers, tying an NBA record for the most three-pointers made in a quarter while setting their own franchise record in the process.
As the horn sounds, they walk off the floor winning by 33. 133-100 is the final.
The blowout 133-100 win over the Grizzlies marked the team's largest margin of victory this season. Sacramento will conclude the homestand tomorrow when the Kings take on the Raptors. Lock in for your Beam Watch coverage starting right here on Sactown Sports tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. right after Cattles and Rami. Ahead of the NFC Championship game, the 49ers have an off-field issue to contend with. Defensive lineman Charles Amenihu was arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence in San Jose yesterday. While dispatched to Amenihu's home, a woman told arriving officers that Amenihu is her boyfriend and that he pushed her to the ground during an argument. He was released from Santa Clara County Jail after posting bail. This is a developing story we will continue to monitor. Now back to Cattles and Rami.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
So we have great vibes for the Niners heading into Philadelphia this weekend for the NFC Championship game. Everything is going right. Brock Purdy is playing well. The defense was terrific on Sunday. You are relatively healthy. I know that both Elijah Mitchell and CMC are a little dinged, but relatively healthy. And then today you get some difficult news. Charles Omenihu, as you just heard Simone bring up in the update, was arrested yesterday afternoon. He faces allegations of suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence. This is according to Pro Football Talk. Police reportedly were called to Omenihu's home at 4:39 local time. Woman told the responding officers that Omenihu is her boyfriend and that he pushed her to the ground during an argument. She complained of arm pain, but there were no visible physical injuries observed. She declined medical treatment. Now, the Niners, of course, have released a statement, and I feel like I've read this statement way too many times the last few years regarding domestic violence and other issues from players across all leagues.
It's cookie cutter. It's template.
It is.
Yeah.
Niners statement, quote, "We are aware of the matter involving Charles Omenihu and are in the process of gathering further information." Now, of course, I don't expect much more than that. You're not going to get into details if you're the Niners.
Right.
It's just if you've seen one statement like that, you've seen them all. And, Rami, of course, I would first say that when something like this happens, people are quick to judge and they rush to a take probably well before they should rush to any take. We don't know what happened. Right now it's a he said, she said. We don't know if anybody else was involved. There's very little detail with this situation. So what I would like to do is wait for this to unfold and see what the details are before we start jumping to any kind of conclusions.
Which is the fair and responsible thing to do, Nick, which is very unusual in our business, to be fair and responsible.
True.
I mean, yeah, I don't have a lot to add on the situation other than, you know, if he did what he's accused of doing, I hope he's punished to the full extent of the law and should probably miss a few 49ers games. I don't know if the evidence is there to say that he did or he did not do what he's accused of, but yeah, man, I mean, there's just, look, Dana White said it but didn't live up to it. There's no good excuse. There's no reason to put your hands on a woman, and it's something that's very, very hard to get over in terms of your public image if and when you're found guilty of doing that. So you hope that's not what happened here? And if it is, then may the chips fall where they may.
Now, as far as whether or not he's going to play, I would imagine he's going to play going off of history.
We won't have anything solid or concrete out of this situation by Sunday, I wouldn't imagine.
I mean, as of right now, we don't have any kind of audio. We don't have any kind of video, which doesn't mean that I think we need audio or video to punish somebody for domestic violence. It's just with such a quick turnaround as you're trying to gather the information, if you're the Niners, again, this is a he said, she said right now. And as the police officers mentioned, they did not see any signs of any abuse. Now, again, that does not mean that there wasn't abuse. There just wasn't any visible signs of the abuse. The girlfriend said her arm hurt. So I think the Niners will, as they said in the statement, try to gather as much information as they can. I'm sure they'll talk to Omenihu. The one thing I would say is I would hope that somebody would also speak to the alleged victim in this case, because what happens too often is that franchises talk to their player.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily reach out to the other side. We saw this with Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns came out, obviously completely different circumstances, but I think you get the point. You know, the Browns came out and said, oh, we investigated heavily this Deshaun Watson thing, and you know, we did research and we spoke to a lot of people. They didn't speak really to anybody who actually said Deshaun Watson did what he did. They spoke to Watson's circle, in essence. That's not going to do anything. Like, if you talk to Charles Omenihu or his buddies or somebody that was there that might want to protect him, you're not going to get to the bottom of what actually happened. So I would hope law enforcement will speak to the victim. I'm sure they got her statement. And then at this point, I think it's kind of, hey, we're stuck in neutral until the law process kind of goes through it. And you got to wait to see if there's any charges filed and all that stuff. So I don't think this is going to impact Omenihu's availability on Sunday. It would only be impacted, again, to me, if there's audio or video. If something comes out that people see or hear that is bad, then the Niners, I think, at that point would be more apt to say, we can't let this guy play right now until all this settles and we find out what really is going on.
Which I've pointed out, you've pointed out, is kind of absurd,
yes.
Nick, the way that the NFL reacts and litigates based on public reaction. And for whatever reason, I just need to hear a story and know that there is truth to it. And I kind of understand how ugly some of these situations that we're talking about are here. But you saw it in the case of Ray Rice. Like, there was some outrage over what he did. And then the video came out and everybody was outraged beyond belief at what they saw. And I was like, yeah, that's like, I heard what happened. That's kind of what I thought it looked like. But I think it's somewhat human nature that when you see it, there's that reaction to it for most people, where I don't necessarily need to see it. If you just tell, like I said, if I hear the story and know that there's truth to it, then I'm ready to come down on I'm ready for whatever needs to happen for it to happen. You know
what
I mean?
The point that both of you are bringing up is an important one, which is we don't have all the information
right
here, because we're working off of a statement by the police and a statement by the 49ers. And
yes,
obviously there's more information here that could come out that could impact anything about this case.
And indirectly going off of a statement from the victim who, you know, the story is kind of transcribed by the police report. But yeah, I mean, there's just not enough information. What I would say is you don't know how this is going to impact the Menahue mentally, right?
True.
Guys compartmentalize, athletes, women compartmentalize. As a radio host, I have compartmentalized plenty of times in my life to get through a show. You know, is a Menahue going to be completely focused, tunnel visioned on the game come Sunday if he is out there? Only he can answer that question. He does bring impact. I mean, he was the most impactful defender against Seattle in the first round of the wild card round. So he is important to the operation. So mentally, is he going to be kind of with it during this week of prep? You know, where is his head at? How emotional was he during this situation? There's a lot of things we don't know. So that's what I would look at. I think he will be available on Sunday. It's just, how is he going to mentally get through this thing? What happened? How is he absorbing what happened? And will that impact his play? We don't know. And he was also dinged up a little bit last weekend. So he's not only dealing with this off the field, but he was also dinged up last week, which might affect him at least slightly on Sunday.
And if they win Sunday and make it to the Super Bowl, his availability might be impacted if enough comes out of this thing.
Yep, absolutely. And it should be if enough comes out.
Absolutely.
That warrants it. 916-339-1140 is the text line. Phone number is 1-800-920-1140. You can also follow the station on Twitter at SackTown1140. Rami's night did not go well. Details going to be coming up for you.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. The only place you'll find Harrison Barnes is Sacktown Sports.
He's got the bucket at the buzzer. Harrison Barnes.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Harrison Barnes, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
It is 2:43 on this Tuesday. Time check brought to you by West Coast Men's Health Acoustic Wave Therapy. Just got word, Rami will be joined by Doug Christie, D.C., at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
So looking forward to that. D.C. will join us at 4 o'clock today. Synchronized swatches. You can listen here on the radio station, the old AM, and also, of course, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 11-4.
Have you adjusted to the new start time and 4 hours of radio? Because the only reason I ask is
adjusted in what way?
When you said D.C. at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
In my brain.
You're thinking like coming
we're
up.
We're already 43 minutes into the show. D.C. will be here in like 15, 16 minutes. Then I looked up at the clock and it's 2:44.
I've adjusted in that way. What I have not adjusted with is my entire day before the show and after the show. In the, like, 40-minute drive I have in now, when I decided to buy a home 35 minutes away, not knowing we would be starting at 2 and doing a 4-hour show. Still trying to figure that out.
So working that out, huh?
Yeah. If people are wondering why I have not joined Deuce and Mo for a crossover, it's because I have no idea when I'm going to get here.
Still figuring out your clock.
As long as I get here 5 minutes before the show, I feel safe.
I'm more than happy to do the crosstalk.
Yes. Rami lives 7 minutes away, if you're wondering. So,
nice little
still trying to iron out those wrinkles.
Wasn't 7 minutes last night, though.
It wasn't.
It was not 7 minutes last night. No,
why? Because of the game?
No, because when I left here, got in my car, Nick.
Uh-oh.
And the old low tire pressure warning was up on the dashboard.
Okay. Not too crazy when you have some swings in temperature.
Right. I was like, oh, that's concerning. I should check that when I get home. If I had made it home, I would have checked it. About 2-3 minutes after pulling out of the parking lot, I hear the old floppity-floppity.
No.
On the back left tire. Yes.
You had a flat tire.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's not good.
So I pull into a parking lot, right, Nick?
Yeah.
Now, I don't come on here and claim to be the most manly or handiest of men, okay? I'm usually useless.
Neither am I,
for the
record. With
a tool in my hand. But one thing I pride myself on, pretty quick with a tire change, man. I am pretty quick.
Are you?
Like 10, 15 minutes, the old one is off, the new one is on.
Why that? Why is that a special skill?
I don't know. It's just something I know the whole process. I got it down. I don't know why. I just got it down, and I'm very fast at it. So I go in the trunk. I take out the spare. I take out the whole toolkit, the whole thing that's back there. I get 4 of the lug nuts loosened. The fifth one is not like one of these things is not like the other. The fifth lug nut.
Square peg and round hole is the fifth lug nut.
The fifth lug nut is different looking, and it has like this flower pattern on it. And my wrench doesn't fit on it. What do they call that thing? That's how unhandy I am. What do they call that thing? The big wrench that comes with the jack to anybody? Crowbar. That's what I'm thinking of. It doesn't fit on this lug nut. I'm like, what is going on? And Nick, I sat there for like, first half an hour, just trying to figure out what, like, I was like, the answer is right in front of me. It has to be right in front of me. It can't be that hard to change a tire. And then I sat there for like a half an hour, just defeated.
We're like sitting on the side of the road.
Just sitting there looking at it, tears in my eyes, just defeated.
Like one single tear
rolling
down your cheek.
Just watering up. Like, I'm helpless. I'm out here. I don't know. And then, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to Google this. So I Google it. And I Googled, I'm changing my tire and one lug nut is different. I just put that into Google to see what it tells me.
Did you get results from that?
The first result says, it sounds like you probably have what's called a wheel lock. Look for the lug wrench.
You all right?
Look for the crowbar or lug nut adapter in your glove compartment. So I open up my glove compartment. There's this little thing that fits over this particular lug nut that the crowbar fits over that you then can unscrew the lug nut. Am I the only one who knows nothing of this, who knows nothing of the wheel lock design on one lug nut when changing a tire? Am I the only person? Am I an idiot for not knowing this?
I can't tell you if you're an idiot, but Tony Dog says you are. Brent McCoy, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Brent McCoy, he chats in, that was a wheel lock, Rami. You need an adaptable key to affix to the tire iron.
Where were you last night?
He was probably at his house.
At
just
home,
hanging out.
Eating dinner, where I should have been.
Are you upset that he didn't text you this?
So I'm...
He was supposed to know somehow, some
way. I should have known this. I should have known about this wheel lock feature. And why? Why? What is the point of this? So somebody can't steal my tire? Is that the point of this?
Look, all of this is French to me, man. I can't help you. I'm not a car person at all.
Neither am I.
Yeah. I'm not a big car guy either.
So my night was just a mess. Like,
so you get through that.
I finally get the tire changed.
How long did this process take?
I mean, like you said, it's a 7-minute commute. I didn't get home till at least like 7:15. And then I was like, all right, let me turn on the Kings game. Got this recap show tonight. Nope.
Then YouTube TV was like,
dog show.
You got God.
You get double dog show is what you get. So that was that was my evening. That was.
You get double dog show. But, hey, you got out of doing the recap show.
I did get out of doing the recap
show. So not all was lost.
No.
And I actually looked this morning. I got up and I went to the YouTube channel and I was looking for the recap. And I said, there's no recap today. Mm-hmm. Did Rami not do the recap? And now we know.
I was told to take the night off.
Joe Giroux said, take the night off.
Sounds like you've had a rough
one. Did you still get paid?
No comment to that. No comment to that. So rough night for you, but I'm glad. So the tire's fixed.
Well, I put the spare on there.
Of course,
I put the donut on, and then I had a warranty on my tires. I called today, and it's not even a warranty. I can't get.
What
into
do you mean? You had
details.
A warranty that wasn't a warranty? What is a warranty that's not a warranty?
It was like
it's not a warranty
because it was the tires that were on the car. When if it was a replacement tire, it would have been under warranty. But because it was the tires that were on the car when I bought it, they were not under warranty. Don't ask, man. Don't even ask.
Brent said he followed up. You got lucky. The key was actually in the glove box.
Well, yeah.
Because if the key wasn't in the glove box,
I would have been.
Well, I think Brent. I don't want to put words into Brent's mouth here or words into his fingers since he's typing.
Yeah.
I think he's saying, like, I'm gathering from that chat that sometimes the key is not in the glove box.
I would imagine so, yeah. And why wouldn't you put the key with the rest of the stuff that I use to change the tire, man? What kind of they
want you to go on like a
why do I gotta go on like an Easter egg hunt?
I was just gonna say it's like an Easter egg hunt
to change the tire. What
you can figure it out. All right, well I'm glad you get the spare on it. You'll get a new tire.
Everything and now I know, and now you know. If yes. you got a flat tire and you now have one weird looking lug nut out there in Sacktown Sportsland, look in your glove compartment for what do you call it? The lug nut adapter? Is that what he said?
I don't know. Who cares? It's just look for the key in the glove box. There you go. I don't think we need the exact term. Moving on.
I was so mad.
Eli Apple on Twitter. Apparently he just, he wanted to go after the Bills.
He's one of my favorite Twitter follows all of a sudden.
The thing is he's not very good at football. I mean, he's okay. He talks like he's the greatest corner. He talks like he's Deion Sanders.
I don't care.
But Pro Football Talk found all this stuff from Eli Apple. Multiple tweets taking shots at the Bills. Specifically, Stephon Diggs. Apple tweeted above a video of Diggs gesturing in frustration at Josh Allen, quote, "Someone get them couples therapy," unquote. Apple also retweeted a video of Donald Trump chanting, "Turn off the lights," in reference to Diggs in the playoffs. I mean, he is funny. At least he's funny. In one tweet, Apple posted a video of Allen and Diggs shaking hands during pregame warmups with this message, quote, "They ain't do this after the game." He also referred to Diggs as Terrell Owens Jr. He's just on a Twitter tirade. And here's something that's really funny.
Did you see the most recent one?
About what?
So Stephon Diggs tweeted at Eli Apple.
Oh, okay.
Corn emoji, which I think he's calling Eli
corny.
Apple corny.
Yeah.
And followed by clout chasing. And Eli Apple quote tweeted that with "safe travels to Cabo, fam," with a plane emoji and prayer hands.
That's a 10-7 round for Eli Apple.
That's that you got somebody good when the original tweet has like 5 million views and the reply has 8 million?
Yeah.
How you know you got it.
And like, Annie Apple, Eli's mom, she tweeted out calling all Eli Apple haters, please use the hashtag love to hate Eli Apple and we'll donate $5,000 to the Salvation Army in Cincinnati. First 5,000 tweets with that hashtag, make your hate count, put that Eli Apple hate to great use and help families needing housing and care.
At least they dealt with it really, really well. And Eli, like I said, he talks like he's Deion Sanders. He's not that great on the field, but he's entering the Hall of Fame of talkers pretty soon. Also, this also happened with Eli on Twitter. So his mother tweeted out, tickets to the AFC Championship game, way too expensive. And then Cool Kid Casey, some random, jumps in and says, tell Eli Apple to pay for it. And Eli responded, mama can watch from the crib.
Absolute respect.
So Eli Apple all over the joint. He knows how to use Twitter. And, as Kyle said,
did you guys see what he did after the Ravens game in week 18? He showed up on the field afterwards, walked up to the camera with a giant coin, because as
I did see that. Yeah.
there was the possibility if the Bengals lost, they would do a coin toss to decide home field advantage between the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yes.
The giant coin that he had, that was, you know, he took two hands to hold it. It had the Roger Goodell clown face on it.
He comes prepared. He's got great material.
He's got props.
He's got fantastic material.
He's got Carrot Top.
Absolutely fantastic work from him. All right, tsunami of Kings national coverage. What's it all mean? That's next.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports goes 100% live and local
from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
starting January 23rd. Tune into Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m., followed by the return of Deuce and Mo
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.,
followed by Cattles and Rami from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. You wanted more local? We're giving you more local on Sactown Sports, your local sports leader.